Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 241 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And I'm just going to apologize ahead of time for my voice, because I was out late last night partying with a friend who's moving to Sydney, and celebrating his moving to Sydney turned into basically having a lot of drinks and singing karaoke. So, singing along to everybody else who was singing karaoke, so my voice is shot today. So, if it sounds a little deeper or raspier, I'm doing the best I can, basically, Ben. So, that's...
All good. Well, it was also St. Patrick's Day on the weekend, like on Saturday, so...
This we realized as soon as we went out and saw a lot of people wearing green. So, people wearing green and ordering Guinness at the pub, of course. So, it was a big night all around for everyone, I think. No, nobody sang Danny Boy at karaoke, though, so that was disappointing. I suppose I could have picked up the slack, but I stuck with Secret Agent Man and Sweet Caroline. Always crowd pleasers. But nevertheless, we are here to talk about basketball video games. A little bit of basketball as well this week. We've got some Australians doing some cool things in the NBA right now, which, of course, we are very biased towards being Australian ourselves. Not a lot of news, as we've said, this is the dead part of the year where there is really no news, but on that note, I guess we actually have to discuss the lack of, well, not the lack of news, we don't expect it at this early stage, but that is kind of the point, because people are trying to fill the void, Ben, with clickbait and deceptive titles and misleading videos, things like that, and it's a problem we run into every single year, basically.
Mm. Yeah, that's for sure, and... You know, everyone likes to try and get that little breaking news sort of stuff, you know, and they'll try and, come up with some obviously not thoroughly researched or really in the know content in that, which is really disheartening.
And
it spreads to potentially bad rumors. Like, I think we even discussed, like, the other week that, you know, there's rumors that Live 19 wasn't going to happen, or, you know, it was going to be pushed back, you know, because...
And even last year with Live 18, the whole release date fiasco when a site... Was it Amazon put up a release date for December that was just a placeholder and everybody panicked, and then people were making up rumors about, oh, there's lots of trouble at EA and they're going to shake up the team again and maybe the game's going to get cancelled, and then, oh no, you just didn't bother to do your due diligence and check that it was actually... a date that was wrong, because they'd already said at the time, of course, that it was going to be a mid-September release, which it was. But then Amazon or whoever it was put up a release date that was just a placeholder accidentally or whatever, and then people just ran with it instead of checking into it and just making up things, I guess, for attention and clicks on Twitter and retweets and such on Twitter and YouTube and that kind of clickbait. And it doesn't do us anything, any favors as gamers. We want to share proper information. We want to stay informed. You know, that there's, you know, not to get too political or anything, but there's obviously lots of bias these days in all kinds of news sources around the internet. Gaming is often a refuge from everything that's going on in the world, so the fact that we have to deal with it in gaming as well is not fun at all. First of all, there is the benign kind of clickbait, which is where people will take like a tweet from a developer and just extrapolate from there and not necessarily make things up, but they'll claim to have some kind of news, and they'll use the word leaked. Leaked is a big thing, and Agent 00 has made a couple of videos on this before, commenting on this and pointing out the fallacies of using this. I mean, obviously it's an effective technique, but just like grabbing a tweet or something that the developer has said and then basically speculating on what it means, but presenting it as news in the title. And that's kind of benign, because there's no fake details being... imparted as such, but it is a misleading title.
Yeah, well, there was one that I think I sent you the link about. You know, it says, like, it indicated the kind of, like, first bit of gameplay, and you're thinking, oh, video. And, you know, then it's not even... There's not even any video, then it's only just about...
Speculation, basically. Just rambling speculation on... for about
Or just from those... few words in the shareholder call that we talked about last week, you know, those that one sentence, you know, where it was talking about, the innovation element.
New experiences,
all
yeah. And look, hey, we obviously did the same thing with our podcast last week. We speculated upon it because it's fun to speculate. But to report it as solid details when really we don't know, we can only speculate. And it is fun to do so, but we can't report it as any kind of concrete facts or extrapolate any kind of detailed information from that. And that's what people are doing, or at least that's what they're doing with the claiming to do with the titles, I should say. And that's... it's kind of benign because it's not putting any... a lot of the times it's not really putting any fake information out there. It's just drawing people into your editorial, I guess. And like you said, it's important to get clicks and views and ad revenue and everything else. I mean, we all want to have SEO. We all want to push our content, drive people to websites and YouTube channels and everything. But I think there's a lot to be said for having some, I guess, dignity, class, trying to think of the word I really want to use, integrity, you know, credibility. You don't want to be using the cheap clickbait tactics. You want to actually draw people in and then deliver the really good content. And it's kind of a shame that people are resorting to really cheap tactics for content that's, you know, it would be fine if it was presented as being what it is, but it's not. And I think people rightfully leave a dislike or a snarky comment when that happens.
Yeah, you gotta love it though when, you know, people trying to make fake trailers or, you know, trying to reveal gameplay things at this point when, you know, the game would be on way pre-alpha and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And that leads us into the next big thing is that was Live 19 really that we were talking about before, but for 2K19 we actually do have a fake trailer. Well, it's NBA 2K18 footage. It's PC footage because it's got a Nike basketball in it, so it's definitely modded, which means it's PC. And on top of that, it's titled NBA 2K19 Official Trailer. And unfortunately, a lot of people get taken in by it. They say, oh, this is terrible, it hasn't improved. Surely you've got to recognize it, first of all, that it's modded, and second, that it is NBA 2K18, because there's just so many red flags about it, not just in seeing it, and admittedly, they haven't shown any advertising dawners or things like that that clearly show that it is 2K18, all you can tell from the animations and the graphics and the lighting effects, etc., even with the post-production effects on the video. But the fact that it is March in 2018, way too early to get any kind of official trailer. There's not going to be any leaked gameplay at this point. As you say, alpha, pre-alpha at this point. They're going to be keeping everything, both companies, under lock and key. And certainly not going to be a lengthy official trailer with a cover reveal before they've actually mentioned the cover or anything else. But people are still saying, oh, this looks like crap, which is funny because probably a lot of them are saying that 2K18 looks nice. it's speculation on who's saying what, and it's different people probably. But the point is people are being taken in on it by it and saying either it looks great and they're looking forward to it or that it looks terrible and that they're disappointed by 2K19. And hey, look, when 2K19 comes out later this year, we probably will have our criticisms because no game is perfect. Hopefully it will be an improvement on 2K18. But this clearly isn't an official trailer. And yet people are not looking at the red flags and not thinking logically and thinking, why would an unofficial YouTube channel randomly have this trailer, this official trailer, and not have pre-order information or anything else this early in the year? Because as soon as they start dropping the teaser trailers, you know, 2K has actually had the pre-orders long before really giving us any information about the game. So if 2K isn't advertising pre-order sales at the moment, you know that anything else is not an official trailer, basically, because of the timing. And that's, but people continue to get taken in by this all these years later.
Yeah, it's just pretty crazy. Like Crashy Lion last year with his like apparent 2K18 videos and all that stuff, and you're just listening to him and it's like you just really wanted to punch the guy just because you know how bad and how much ass kissing he was doing and that sort of stuff. And it was like, yeah, aside from the BS point of like it being like the previous game's gameplay and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm glad his channel's taken down now. So
let's look at some of the red flags. I mean, I touched on a couple of them before. There is obviously the timing. you know, it's well before pre-orders have been announced and made available. No cover announcement official, nothing official yet about 2K19 from 2K, except of course that they are working on it and it's coming out later this year, presumably mid-September seems to be the date at the moment. Or maybe 31st of December if Amazon gets the, or whatever it was, gets the date wrong again for them as well as Live. But so the date when it comes out and looking at it, the lack of new or official overlays, I guess, on the video. I mean, the timing is the big one. Clearly modded graphics from the PC. Artificial lighting effects that basically it's in post-production, not in the lighting effects on the original footage itself, the original raw gameplay. It's kind of a post-production effect rather than an in-game lighting effect, which is what they've done on this particular not official trailer. Yes, the use of mods for jerseys or basketballs. Again, the fact there's a Nike basketball instead of a Spalding ball, kind of a giveaway that it's not official. Just trying to think, anything else that we could really put out there as a guide?
Would be some other, the lack of showing, well, even like stadium, like donors and things like that around, you know, that'd be sort of clickbaity in terms of, you know, trying to hide what year the game is, although some
donors and advertising boards, yeah, absolutely.
Where you could clearly see if it's what game it is.
If there's outdated, not for this trailer in particular, but if there's outdated jerseys by a couple of years, I think last year people claimed to have leaked footage of NBA Live 18, and people saying, "Oh, this is terrible." And it's like you can clearly see that's Live 14 because that jersey is 4 years old and.
Yeah,
and those players do not play for that team anymore. So things like that, that is clearly taken from a previous game because it's the jerseys or the rosters are clearly a few years out of date. If people say, "Oh, leaked gameplay," and it's clearly another game. If it's claiming to be leaked raw gameplay, if it has scoreboards and overlays that resemble the previous years as well. Not so much on the trailers because the fake trailer because it's all cinematic footage from the instant replay, so it doesn't have the scoreboard or anything on it. But if it's just raw gameplay, you can say, well, that's 2K14 or Live 15 or whatever. That's clearly not, or even just the most recent year. I mean, the timing, I guess, is the really big one, and what actually is coming from the official channels. Oh, also, of course, where it's coming from. If it's coming from somebody with very few subscribers, it's very unlikely they've got leaked footage. I mean, even if they do have a lot of subscribers, it's probably not going to be anyway. But
some people will, depending on what channels and stuff they use, will hide comments or hide the likes and dislikes.
Yep,
and stuff like
absolutely. Well, certainly, the idea that some random person just happens to have this really big scoop is highly unlikely. People making very specific, yet also at the same time vague discussions and reveals of the information. The overuse of buzzwords, I guess, to talk about improvements to the gameplay, but nothing specific. But that if they get it right, they can kind of claim to have been right, but it's really just a prediction with some very generic buzzwords. And certainly, I mean, it's on the content creators not to stoop to these low tactics, but certainly, and for the more benign ones, where it's just turning into a discussion, they've just used a bit of a clickbait title, it's not too bad unless they're actually claiming to have proper inside information on the game that they don't have. But I think the other thing is to take everything with a grain of salt until we hear it from EA
the
or
official
2K.
Sources, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's obviously going to be the best way to some things. And also, yeah, just common sense in thinking, okay, looking at past history of, you know, reveal times and stuff like that, you know, when information started to leak.
Yeah, definitely.
Will come out, you know, you think, okay, it's definitely not going to be January, February, March in that sense. I think Crashy Lions one last year was in like January last year, and I was like, really?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, 2K, anything they're going to be putting out is going to be for the 2K League. They're not going to be talking about 2K19 for probably at least a couple of months. Maybe May if they want to do an early cover reveal, but again, I think it's going to be closer to June. E3 and the NBA Finals is a good time to do it. And as you say, past years give you a basic idea for the time frame. I mentioned it in the forum, because we're discussing it in the 2K, currently the 2K18 section of the forum, of course, because a bit too early to launch the 2K19 section. And that's the thing, it is too early to launch the 2K19 section, because we're not getting 2K19 stuff officially right now. It's only clickbait. But what I mentioned in there is, it's funny how people will rightfully be skeptical when information comes from EA or 2K, say, oh, well, it's marketing spin, we know that they're going to put the best spin on it, and it's going to be, there might even be some bullshotting, or it's going to be from the best angles and everything to really sell the game. People will be skeptical about what information comes from EA and 2K, rightfully so, but then some random person claims to have an official trailer or a scoop on the game, and they believe it without question. You're rightfully skeptical of marketing spin, but you're not skeptical that somebody could just put out fake information on the internet? Like, it's crazy. Like, you just wonder how people don't, or how they have that disconnect between, oh, we'll be skeptical, again, rightfully so, of marketing spin, but we'll totally believe somebody putting it out there. I mean, you've been obviously in the community for many years, as I have, and we've seen a lot of people come into the community claiming to have a father who works for EA or whatever, and
the uncle or
a friend, and oh, they're just willing to give us this big leak, this big scoop, because no such thing as an NDA, right? No such thing as not putting your job in jeopardy by releasing confidential information that you're not at liberty to discuss yet.
Claiming that they're at some event or things like that, or
Which obviously there are, as we know, having both attended them in the past, we know that happens. But of course, there are NDAs, and it's just. You would think that people would. It's funny how people are so mistrusting, and yet very trusting at the same time. I guess it's a very interesting. I'm sure psychologists out there and those that have studied psychology could tell us much more about the phenomenon. But it is funny that people will say, "Oh, well, that's just marketing BS. It's the developers lying to us, and we don't believe them." But random person says they've got the official trailer. Yeah, seems legit. Oh, terrible. as you say, there's lots of things in the world right now that the internet being used to spread misinformation and people having their own confirmation bias, I guess, is it's just part and parcel of society and psychology and the internet, of course. But again, it's just something very hard, I guess, to combat. And we here at the NLSC always try and be very credible, basically. We want to report facts. Sometimes we get some scoops and exclusive information, which we love to have. But I'm not going to try and ruin. I'm not going to ruin our credibility just in the name of getting more clicks or whatever, just to make things up, because that is how you lose your credibility. That is how you can get in a lot of trouble, basically, as well. But I'd much rather be trusted.
Yeah, same. And even when I got to attend the event last year, I was still, obviously, I didn't want to break the NDA in any way, so I was still very hesitant in saying that, I got to attend and all that stuff, and inform a little bit about what happened and all that stuff, even well after, even in post-launch of the game and that. It was just, trying to make sure I do the right thing in that sort of sense, and yes, it would have been cool to, sort of give a little bit of inside info. I did start doing a little write-up about the experience over there, but I can't remember. My laptop did a Windows restart, one of those restarts where it's mandatory. It must have come up when I'd stepped out or something like that of the room, and I didn't get to say, later kind of thing, and so I got to check if I had saved it in a Word document or something like that. But I started writing up this whole thing about my experience and all that stuff there, obviously not giving away a whole lot in terms of some things that were said and all that stuff, but giving a general feel of the experience and a bit about what was discussed and what our roles over there and that sort of stuff.
A couple of shows we kind of alluded to it because we thought maybe you'd be able to talk about it, but we didn't have the time frame. We ended up actually cutting them out just to be on the safe side because we didn't want to jeopardize our working relationship. Well, I say working relationship with EA. It's no more so than other fan sites and community managers, EA Game Changers, influencers. But certainly we had that relationship with EA, the open dialogue and everything. We didn't want to jeopardize that, didn't want to violate an NDA or anything. So, we did end up cutting stuff out and that's what you do. You work on the level and you continue that by doing so, you get to continue to work with EA and 2K. By maintaining that sense of goodwill. And I'll probably talk about it a bit more in the Monday tip-off because I want to talk about this in writing as well. And I actually tweeted out about it back in late February. Back in the previous season for 2K16, so 2015, I actually got a hot tip from somebody in the... they sent it in via the contact form on the main page of the NLSC, giving me a hot tip about the whole college, high school part of my career. And they used a pseudonym, and they asked that I didn't even mention the pseudonym, and basically gave the information, said, please don't use this verbatim, but just this is a tip. And I thought about it, and I really wanted to mention it, because it lined up with some of the rumors that were swirling. But in that respect, I thought, well, I don't know this person, I don't know their credibility. If I report this, I guess I can say it's just a rumor that's been sent to my inbox, take it for what it's worth. But deciding that I couldn't confirm the accuracy of this report, this tip, I decided not to run with it. As it turned out, pretty much everything they said was accurate except for one thing they speculated on as to who one of the characters was. Turned out it was a sister. Was it Cece back in the Living the Dream? Was the sister Cece?
Yeah,
so it was Cece. They speculated that it might have been a mother or a girlfriend or something. But it was actually Cece. So everything else is basically accurate. And I look back on that and I think, but at the same time, I erred on the side of caution because I couldn't confirm it. And also, I mean, if I leak accurate information or if I post accurate information that has been leaked to me, given to me as an insider tip or something, I mean, we know people working at 2K. So if I report something accurate like that, the possibility that I'm going to jeopardize their employment by thinking that they've leaked it to me, even though it definitely wasn't them. Because first of all, the people we know at 2K do not act unprofessionally with us, you know. For a start, we can vouch for their character, and also whoever wrote it is a different writing style than I've and speaking style than anyone that I've that I had been in contact with. So, yeah, I didn't want to get them in trouble. I didn't want to put out what could have been completely false information, even if I marked it as clearly a rumor that I couldn't confirm at the time. But that's the kind of thing you do. I think you need to have the credibility and you need to be trustworthy. And it is unfortunate that these days the people who sometimes are the loudest or they'll just speak their minds with no filter, but they don't necessarily have anything great on their minds to say. You know, we could go off topic for hours on that problem in today's society. But as far as our community goes, you know, it doesn't do us any favors. We should be sharing proper information. We should be standing together as a community and keeping each other informed, properly informed. It's fine to have speculation, but if you're going to speculate and say this is an editorial, this is speculation, this is what I'd like to see, not what is, but what I hope is, to put it that way, that's fine if you clearly mark it that way. But to get people in and to promise information then deliver nothing, or even worse, to give false information or false trailers and those kinds of fakes, I mean, it's not a crime against humanity, don't get me wrong, in the grand scheme of things, but in the context of our community as gamers and people who want to stay informed, it's kind of dirty pool.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I suppose a lot of people that would probably fall for it are those who would be the more just casual people who just sort of played the game but maybe don't live it as intensely in that, which is kind of obviously makes it more deceptive because you're taking advantage of people that are like would just, you know, don't have the time or the know to where to get a lot of the information. They're just happy to play the game and that. So yeah, just kind
also
of
also maybe younger gamers as well who are slightly naive, not really thinking of the fact that their fellow gamers would be deceptive.
Yeah.
So we've outlined the red flags, and hopefully we can continue to do our part in educating the basketball gaming community about how people are specifically doing it in our corner of gaming, how they're actually trying to fool people and such. But I guess the moral of the story is to stay vigilant, to double check everything, and to not jump the gun, especially something this early in the year and that's clearly not official. Don't get too excited or upset until we actually get something more concrete and confirmable.
Yeah, for sure.
So with that being said, that's about all we have for news, and the news is fake news, I guess, and how not to fall for it, at least in the context of basketball gaming. So I guess it is the only thing for us to do for the most of the remainder of the show is to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Oh, that's a devastating dunk in his face. Oh, he just stole his heart with that dunk right there.
Another session of 2K Pro-Am this week. We continue to get on with giving it another go after last week's session grew us back into the mode. A slightly rougher session this week, but it was mostly the lag in the last couple of games. We had a lot of lag.
Yeah, in particular that last one, I think, was probably the worst we've had in a long time.
And I know a couple of us were experiencing it from even the first game, but I felt the first two or three were pretty responsive, but then that fourth game, I know we ended up on the US server because ZZ was playing with us, and we ended up on the US server for that one.
And surprisingly, that wasn't too bad considering that last game.
It wasn't too bad, no, and X was actually seemed to be shooting better with the lag. He was working quite well for him. But I noticed it whenever I'm bringing the ball up court, and because out of habit, I often dribble behind my back in the game when I'm bringing the ball up the court, and I noticed the delay on making the dribbling move. I'm like, okay, this is, yeah, I can tell already there's going to be some lag, and then trying to compensate defensively, and I just couldn't shoot the ball in the last couple of games at all. after shooting pretty well, I mean, the jump shot is still working out for me. It's just the lag just killed me in the last two games. But it wasn't quite as successful as last week's session, although the second game against a team that was admittedly not a particularly strong opponent was that was probably one of our best games, the most enjoyable, because we kind of ran up the score on them a little bit, and three of us scored in 24 more points. You had the 21 and 12 rebounds to go with the 21 points. I had the 22 points, 17 assists. Leo had the 23 in that game. I think we all scored in double digits except ZZ, who had 9 in that one. So we were sharing the sugar, I guess, in that one and just passing around. And then we faced them in the second time, and we thought, oh, you know, them again, it's going to be easy. And they almost beat us. We really had to rally in the second half to come back and beat them.
Yeah, it was a tale of two games, that's for sure. Like, there's no way, like, yeah, I think we were a little bit too confident. We got off to a sluggish start, and yeah, it just took us to the last few minutes really to get it, didn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, to put it in perspective, we scored 26 points in the first quarter of the first game against them, and then we didn't even score 26 in the first half of the second game. We were just struggling. Fortunately, they weren't doing that much better, so we were able to catch up and finally overtake them. But it was pretty close. Like, it did come down to the fourth quarter to actually pull out the win. And like, we can't lose them. We can't lose to them. They're like 3-40. We are better than that. We're not one of the top ranked teams or anything, but we are better than that. So it was a bit of a struggle.
It was. I'm glad we got the win in the end. I think it was a good little test in that sense. I know we sort of talk about, like, the energy boost and all that stuff doesn't do anything. I don't know, for me, I do notice it in terms of the running element and being able to get back a bit quicker and things like that. I mean, I did buy the 3 Gatorade packs, like 10 game things, just because I wanted to sort of see if it made any real difference.
Yeah, I tried it for a game. I didn't notice any difference over the course of one game.
In terms of, like, the sprint meter, like, that little blue bit that you get?
The boost, yeah.
Yeah, it actually doubles it.
Okay, yep.
So you get a little bit more of that. But yeah, you still lose like that, like you said, the 20% energy and that when we were talking and all that stuff from the game. So that's a little bit disappointing in that sense. But yeah, I mean, just in general, like usually when it gets down to about 60, I start to notice that just not as proficient in running or sprinting down the court and given that I have to do a lot of chasing and a lot of sense with some of the guys, or just because of my build and that, I have to really sort of be running, gunning to the basket to really try and be effective offensively. I do notice a difference there in that sense. I can't really just spot up and shoot. So
I haven't noticed it as much, and I don't have Tyler score or anything, but the downside of it is that we do interrupt our momentum to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And obviously the other problem is being put on a different server, I guess, and sometimes there is more lag on one than the other. I think that's been a noticeable problem with us as well. It'd be great if you did buy the Gatorade, if you could use it as a consumable and just reboost the energy. I guess the idea is to get it to get to 92 overall, because then you can just... Don't you get the gym rat badge then, and you always keep the 100% boost?
I think so. You don't have to go back, that's for certain, so that's great.
You're the closest to it at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck at 90, but I'm getting close to the next upgrade, which I don't think is going to take me to 91. I think it's going to be the next step and then another step to 91.
That wouldn't surprise me, because given how far you are into your first season...
It's January now, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit... I'm still just at the end of December at this stage. And I'm in my second season in that. I've played a lot in that sort of sense. And I've only... Yeah, just getting to a 90... Or still under a 92 at this stage, so...
It's really at the moment it's just the cap breaker, how slow the cap breaker moves.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Which would be nice in the double XP weekends, except you really only get it for a day. And as we've said before, you kind of get it on a day. They've been doing it on days when you're not necessarily going to be playing. I mean, they did it New Year's Day, which would have been the second. But I was actually away still that day, Christmas Day, even Thanksgiving. All of that was over a weekend. Well, it was another one as well they did that was just kind of out of the blue.
Oh, yeah, that was All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend, yeah, when you're either watching the game or doing something else. So, again, they really kind of need it to be at least a couple of days or even a week or something, just so that people can boost it. And you know, I know they want it to be a long road to the road to 99. They don't want everyone getting there too easily. But at the same time, I don't think they should make us crawl on our hands and knees to get there, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be a fun journey, not this arduous saga of a trek through to the road to 99. I mean, it should at least be able to get to 92, 93 and get some of the perks, especially since they've done things like put the gym rat badge at 92, and I don't think you have to be 92 to get a ball machine for your court and things like that.
I think so. I think it's that one or maybe 93. I can't remember what that level, but yeah.
And the Reddit thread, the MMOification of NBA 2K, that was a really great thread over there on Reddit. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't already. Talked about that how ridiculous it was to get something as basic as a ball machine. Not just a matter of having a lot of VC, but also being able to... You know, you've got to be really far into your career and grinding to actually get there, and that is the problem, that they haven't really balanced the whole journey to the road to 99. We've talked about this many times before, of course.
Mm.
But, yeah, so I guess that is the whole thing with the boost, is that the Gatorade doesn't seem to do that much, really. I mean, I've only tried it over the course of a game or two. It'd be interesting to see how it goes over a longer, a bigger sample size, I guess. But... Yeah. Yeah, the downside is that we ruin the momentum sometimes, but I think also getting placed on that different server really just kills us when it does, because then all of a sudden we've gotten used to having a really smooth experience, and then all of a sudden we're on a different server with more lag or whatever, and I certainly couldn't make a shot at all, and my jump shot's been working out very well since I changed to it last week, and it was working through the first couple of games. You know, I shot 9 of 11 in that big win, the 90-69 win, where I had the 22 and 17, 4 of 6 from 3. So I was making them at a pretty good clip, and better, certainly as well as I've made them all year, basically. And yeah, once the lag hit, that it was all over.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, it's a shame. It is such a contrast and difference in that. I really hope they tune a lot of that like unnecessary crap out, like having to constantly go to the gym aspect of it, because it can kill momentum so easily. And you know, it's a wasted time of having to, you know,
go the loading and everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah, just even that, but even running to there, running back, doing the actual 45 second drill a couple of times. It's kind of so pointless and stupid.
It's another
and
one
unnecessary. Yeah.
It's another one of those cases, much like Got Next in the Playground, where yeah. you understand the concept that they're going for and making it this living, breathing world, whatever, but in practice, it just leads to a lot of tedium, a lot of standing around, a lot of grinding, a lot of waiting, especially Got Next in the Park, in the playground is just... I'd like some instant matchmaking. That is one good thing about 2K Pro-Am compared to... the playground. The playground, if you're getting a lot of games and you can get them in very quickly, but with 2K Pro-Am, you know, we haven't really had to wait very long unless there has been a heavy load on the server or whatever, or there hasn't been a lot of people playing. We usually get games very quickly. In fact, the other night, we were getting them pretty much as soon as everyone readied up. We were getting straight in, actually. Yeah. So, which is good. It's minimal loading, it's minimal waiting around. And
I mean, last year in Pro-Am, sometimes we'd be waiting like 5-10 minutes. From memory, or it was at 16.
I think there were some long nights in 2K17 last year.
Yeah, you just end up sort of waiting, and then eventually it was like, I think sometimes like it was waiting so long that was like, do we just call it a night?
There were definitely nights like that where we just waited until, I think that's what led to some of the really late nights last year, was waiting until, you know, up to half an hour sometimes for a game, just chatting, and then suddenly it's like, oh, we're just about to give up, and then a game pops up that an opponent found.
Yeah.
So, that's been less of an issue this year, but it's still the problem with the Got Next in the Playground, and the whole neighborhood concept. We've talked about at length before, I know, but it's little things conceptually like that, like having to go back to the gym in the middle of an online session. That's just it just kills the momentum. It kills. It's just a lot of waiting around, a lot of loading back and forth, lining everything up, and then when you get back in, it's either you've killed the momentum or you've placed on a server that's not as good or whatever. And yeah, it's just.
Or if you want to change accessories or something like that, you have to go back to your apartment and closet.
It's just a crapshoot of how well it works as well, which is just very unfortunate.
And yeah, for moments like that, that's when you miss 2K17's menus where you just go in on the fly and do it, and it's just so much quicker.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, all the effort that's gone into the neighborhood. I can appreciate and what they're trying to build, and I guess you look at the living world of Grand Theft Auto, but it doesn't work for every single game, and not everyone's a fan of GTA Online either. So it's not having those menus and those shortcuts has just been a killer this year, and I think it's turned. Well, it's. I don't think it's turned people away from the game because the activity is there, but I think people have certainly. You can see that people are finding it tedious, if nothing else. They're not. They're putting up with it because they want to play, but they're not necessarily happy about it. And I think that's the problem, is that sometimes sales and activity can't always be conflated with being happy or satisfied with how it's going. It's like, well, we want to play, so we'll put up with it, but we don't necessarily like it. So hopefully the feedback can be taken into consideration. I mean, I've sent through our wish list threads to both EA and 2K at this time, leaving them open, of course, so that people can continue to put through their feedback and keep sending in those ideas. But I've sent like the bulk of our ideas that I've compiled and sent those in, and
I've been working on mine. Started it, just grinding it out, you know, trying to get the information out there. I'll be uploading videos in terms of references and stuff like that as well, yeah, getting screenshots and all that stuff to have a visual reference to what you're trying to say and all that stuff is, you know, it's all time consuming, but you get it, you get it done, and then
definitely, yeah,
it's worth it in the end if the developers actually listen and take things on board, like they say.
So, I mean, obviously, fingers crossed with that, and 2K Prime, something we're going to continue to do pretty much whenever we're all free on a Friday. At the moment, don't really feel like getting on more than once a week to do it. It's just, you know, 3 to 5 games is pretty much the limit unless we have a really good run and then get excited, I suppose. Maybe we'd get on for 2 nights, I don't know. But at the moment, I think the Friday night sessions does as well. We always enjoy getting on there and making obscene jokes that make Leo blush. And
X was on fire the other night.
X did some great one-liners and innuendo the other night, absolutely.
I got to step up my game.
yeah. So, big. We had that one game, of course, that was, as I said, that was great. 3 dunks in a game was spectacular.
Well, 4 if you include the
4 if you include what the grading teammate grade said. Yeah, I posted that on our social media, of course, with the hashtag 2KTVWOW. Hopefully, get onto 2KTV with that one.
Basically, I was going to say you should submit that and see if you can send it.
I'm fingers crossed, and hopefully we can get some, an inside job on that one. Maybe, you know, certainly aware of us. But basically, you were bringing it up, and you threw it to Leo, and Leo threw it back to me at the 3-point line, and I actually meant to throw it to X, and I accidentally hit the triangle, which you were playing power forward, and you're usually small forward, so I hit the wrong. The wrong icon for the icon passing on button for icon passing, and threw it in from the 3-point line, and was deflected off a defender's hand up and into the basket and counted for 3. Now in the real NBA that would have been a 2 and it would have been awarded to you because you were closest to the basket, but for some reason it gave me 3 points, which is pretty spectacular for a start. But then on my teammate grade, as you can see on the video that I posted from my Twitter and on the NLSC as well, Twitter and Facebook, it says highlight play slam dunk. So it also includes Canada as a slam dunk as well. So that was interesting, but that was
hashtag
a pretty...
break the game. Wasn't that 2K slogan, or was that last year?
Is it going to break the internet or something? For
yeah.
Well, if Kim Kardashian can't do it, I don't think anyone will. But break the internet. But that was one of the highlights of the night, I think, just having that play that seemed to be going wrong just go spectacularly right, and being able to dunk, of course. I think that was the only games that I actually dunked in. It kind of surprised everyone when I actually threw down not one, not two, but 3 dunks into one game, possibly even 4 if it counted that, if it really did count that as one. It didn't the teammate grade anyway, so I mean that I think the session was worth it just for that really one. If we can have 1 or 2 really fun games and satisfying wins on the night, I'm usually pretty happy.
Yeah.
So,
but I think the last game was pretty rough. Just the lag.
Oh, the lag. Yeah. No, we probably should have called it a game or 2 early because it was clear the lag was kicking in, and or maybe exited out and tried to get another server, but shouldn't have to do that. That's all I'm saying. But
yeah,
we didn't play the playground this week. We haven't played any playground. But that being said, maybe we'll jump on right after this because that's what we did last time. But I think we've both played a bit of my career. I'm actually up to the part where I can design my own shoe. And it's come along where I've had to do it. I was in the middle of doing it the other night and my internet went out. So I'm like, well, I can't save the career, so I had to exit. Then I was going to do it yesterday, but then I ran out of time and then had to go out for my friend's farewell. So I've actually exited a couple of times, which means I have to watch that damn cutscene with Be Fresh.
you poor bastard.
multiple times now, I just mute it and let it run through and then look back. Oh, yep, okay, so I can do the shoes now. I'm actually struggling to come up with a shoe I like. Like, I start to put it all together, and I'm like, "Oh, this looks like crap." And it's just like this, like not even Big Baller Brand would come up with something this terrible. so I'm still trying to come up with a good Jordan Brand shoe, the true ground begs, not just a custom colorway. This is the proper designer shoe. So I'm still trying to actually come up with one that I like. Which means I'm going to have to go through the cutscene again for like the 3rd or 4th time and then get back to it. So.
Well, for me, like occasionally, if I haven't got anything in mind, I'll just sort of play around, go through different options. obviously, you know, that the overlays haven't changed over the last 4 years, which is really disappointing, like the options and styles and things. So for me, trying to come up with something new that I hadn't done before in a different sort of style would have that similar kind of thing, you know, trying to figure out what I want and the look I'm going for in that sort of sense. So, yeah, it's just sort of trial and error. Like, sometimes I'll get close to something and I'm like, yeah, nah, there's something here that's sort of missing or not what I want. So in the end, I kind of deconstruct it and start all over again. Sometimes it could take like a couple of hours to do, depending on how much I want it to have a certain look or anything like that. Sometimes I'll revert to a couple elements from similar designs that I've done before. But yeah, it can take probably an hour or so, depending on...
I believe it, because I haven't been able to come up with one that I've liked, and of course I've ended up abandoning it for various reasons, as I said. But I've never really used the Shoe Creator before, so, and I'm not... you know, I mean, you've got your own clothing label, so I mean, you're used to the kind of design work. I mean,
yeah.
if it was like, I don't know, if there was a thing in my career where you have to write a column or something, I could do that. I can write. artistically, it's not my forte. So it's no, it's shoe design again.
Unfortunately, there's no like Yahoo Sports connection or like ESPN.
There's no in-game Players Tribune, basically.
Yeah.
So there's,
yeah.
I can't write my next chapter or something.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, if there was a piece together an article and you just get buzzword and you got to select the right buzzwords. Like that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that's right up my alley, that one. That's damn it, I should have put that on the wish list for 2K19. So yeah, I've never used the Shoe Creator before, so actually trying to come up with something. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a great artist or anything, because obviously I'm not, but I know what looks crap. And it's like, yeah, this is me wanting to do a good job. And just thinking back to all my early high school when art was compulsory, and just what all the teachers would say, or back in primary school when visual arts was compulsory part of the curriculum before it was an elective in high school. And just like, oh, you know, that's what they'd all say to me. This Andrew does not seem to be enthusiastic about art. And no, I certainly am not. So he's like, he loves writing short stories and everything. He's really creative with that. But get him to draw or paint something, sculpt something with clay, nah. It's just... So it's not going much better with the shoe. But I'll get something together. I'll make the proper ground begs, and I'll put that out there on Twitter when I finally get that, I can move past the cutscene. That'll be that. I think that's what I'm most excited about. Not so much the shoe, but actually just getting past the cutscene.
Get a trophy.
Yeah,
should get a trophy for that.
Oh well, yeah, that's absolutely.
But you will actually get a trophy for the actual signature shoe. So you will get one in the end.
Worth it. Then, yeah. That's where I'm up to. I haven't actually played any of my career games over the past week. It's just been the, I've just been 2K Pro Am as far as 2K gameplay is concerned.
I played my career game today. I actually streamed that on Twitch and that, which was pretty cool. Just, you know, something different. And yeah, it was I think the December 26th game against the Hawks in my second season. So getting closer to catching up to you.
Unlapping me, yeah. It's getting close. So.
Yeah, typical game, 50-plus, triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had, I think I was one rebound short of 20 rebounds. I have to double-check the stats. And I had about 11 or 12 assists, 4 steals, a couple of blocks. Got a pretty convincing win over the Hawks in that sense, which was honestly to be expected given how rough the Hawks are. But yeah, it was interesting seeing Delly on the Hawks. That was a surprise.
Oh, so he's gone there in your career, has he?
Yeah. And so that was a game. Just trying to think. I hadn't really done much else in 2K18. I did get to wear the Miami Vice jersey, and that's the second time I've got to wear it.
Oh yes,
which is cool. So.
Because they have unlocked that. They've unlocked the extra jerseys now. They're available across all modes, even if you've already started, which is good. I mean, that was the problem in years past, way back, like previous generation, I guess.
Yeah.
Where they pushed through the jersey updates, and if you've already started a My Career or an association or whatever, or Dynasty back in the day with NBA Live, you were kind of stuck. Unfortunately, you'd have to start again to actually use that new content.
Yeah, which is, you know, now they can kind of carry a lot of that stuff over in terms of, you know, the things that you buy in like Cosmega items and that for a second My Career Player and all that stuff. So that'd be nice if they could do that.
Which like they did last year. 2K17, they did actually do that last year, but this year, well.
Wow.
Yeah, we know how that goes this year, but.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that you, it's interesting that you've been playing some of the League in the One, because yep. I am still playing My Career basically just to grind up the player for extra badges and things for and benefits for 2K Pro-Am. But I've played the live events in Live 18, but I just sort of can't bring myself to play the League. I feel a bit burned out on career modes.
I think you'd be surprised. Like, it's definitely a lot more streamlined in terms of that, so you don't have to go through all that crazy stuff. You do get messages, but you can't ignore them. Like, with my second player, I haven't really read many of the messages and stuff that I get, so it's not that part of the story element that I'm focusing on with this player. It was more about just upgrading him quicker. That's why I've been doing the League stuff, just so you can get boost up your players' ratings and stuff a bit quicker, because a lot of times in a live event, you might get shot out by your teammates and that. And so you're kind of like, all right, well, I'm not going to progress much here. So, yeah, that's why I've been doing that more in that sense. The fact that, you know, you can set the minutes and the skill, like the difficulty requirements and stuff like that, you know, if you just wanted to make it a bit streamlined and a bit quicker, you know, you could do that. Like the two games that I also played for Live 18 today, which I did also stream on Twitch, the 8-minute quarters went by really quick. Like, in particular the first game, I thought, like, when the game ended, I thought it's halftime.
Okay, yeah.
But it was full-time. I was like, what? Oh. So there'll be a few moments where you sit out, like, get subbed out, and I think that's what happened. That's what made the game feel a lot quicker in that sort of sense, and yeah, what threw me off in that I thought it was already halftime, but it was full time. So, and I think for me too, the fact that I've made a 29 game season for the second player, it's definitely gonna make the experience. Like, I don't think you'll feel as burnt out. So
yeah, that's a good point. It does streamline the experience, especially if you are doing the 29 games.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to keep the, you know, still get a bit of play, but not feel like it's, again, because you're playing so much of one other, or, you know, different game modes and stuff, you know, keep the minutes, you know, closer to what you want, maybe like the 6 or 8 minute mark instead of like the 10 or 12 minute
yeah.
mark.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. If I streamline it that way, I might enjoy it a bit more. But I mean, I've been building up my player pretty well through just doing the live events and things like that, and and getting into the Pro-Am tour, which I'd like to go through a bit more. That's something I might do just to really get a feel for the player lock gameplay in Live 18 again.
Yeah.
I mean, I've mostly been sticking with Ultimate Team, and this week's cards, I'm a bit disappointed with this week's cards, actually. I haven't bothered to open any Legend packs, haven't either grind up for coins or drop some more money. It's the Warriors Legends this week.
Okay.
Apparently Rick Barry has got a really great card. He can dunk better than Scottie Pippen, which just feels very wrong, to say the least. He's got an underhanded free throw, which is cool. So he's got his signature form, apparently. So that's, you know, I'm glad they've actually... Because that's a weakness, being the weakness with Live since it came back. It hasn't had all those signature animations that it had as of Live 09 and Live 10.
Yeah, that's true.
So the fact that they do have Barry's unhanded free throw, that's really good to have that in the game. And of course, he can dunk better than Pippen, which is ridiculous. I wouldn't mind a Tim Hardaway, but apparently the card is a bit disappointing. Chris Mullin's a bit too slow, apparently, but he can really shoot. And the Wilt Chamberlain card is really... overpowering, as you might expect from the San Francisco Philadelphia Warriors Wilt. But I've already got Hakeem Olajuwon, who I quite like, obviously, and prefer to Wilt Chamberlain, basically, as far as my all-time favorites are concerned. I still need that power forward. I wish they had a Derek Coleman with the Nets, which I said last week they don't. I need some more coins, so I need to get a Rodman or a Kemp. If I get a Cabs Kemp, or even a Stonics Kemp, but even just a Cabs Kemp, I'd be pretty happy with that. They are on the auction house, so I just don't have the coins at the time. Need to flip some of the coins for some of the cards I don't want to build up my stack of coins. Unfortunately, but I think that's pretty much run through all the teams now of the legends that they're going to do. But I'm hoping they start putting out some random packs or some mixed packs. I don't know if that they are, but I'd love to see them do that. I think they did that live 14 or 15. Once all the legends have been revealed, then they started doing packs that you could just get, and it was just a mix of random legends, so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they did sign out, or if they somehow managed to get some new content in. I reckon there's a chance that, you know, there's still plenty of time in the year in that sense for new content. It'd be something I'd like to see.
I definitely think they need to do it, because they finished around this time last year with the content. Or not last year, the year before last, the last game, Live 16, they kind of finished around March with it, which we've discussed before, it was a problem for it. And I noticed ZZ mentioned it in the forum, is that he's got a lot of coins and nothing really to spend them on at the moment, because he's got the team that he wants and they're not pushing through the new content. I'm hoping that with the playoffs looming, that they'll do something player-oriented. But you would think that maybe, I guess it's harder with, because they don't have the college license, of course, but if they did some kind of March Madness thing, like players who were also standout college players or something, and have just something conceptually, because 2K does that with my team. Like, they don't have them as necessarily wearing college jerseys or anything, but they'll have like college heroes and things like that, where it's we might get impacts where it's from a certain college or certain standout players who won the NCAA tournament with their college or whatever. Just something like that. It's little things that you can do throughout the season that I think Live still needs to lift their game on. I mean, it's not necessarily the only thing that Live needs to do. It's certainly not the only thing that Live needs to do, of course. Yeah. But these days, that constant new content and to dust off the NBA Live 09 slogan, "Made Fresh Daily." Even if it's new stuff weekly, is basically what they need. And of course, they have had that stuff like that, and they've been having these big moments challenges in Ultimate Team as well. But it's just I think it needs to be taken to the next level, because that is something that 2K does a little bit better with its new content for my team. And my team's a bit deeper to begin with, although I much prefer the pack odds in Live, and the idea of that if you buy a Legends pack, you get a Legends player, not a small chance of getting a historical player. Again, that is so dumb and so exploitative and lack of goodwill in 2K as well. But apart from that, there are ideas from my team that I would like to see Ultimate Team borrow.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair. I think, like, even like just in the general side of things, I think both games could add in some new content, and that just to keep it going, like continually feeling new in that sort of sense. I think, again, that's something that even Agent Del Zero says in his video, that 2K really needs to add some new content into it instead of just rehashing, like, in particular, like the anti-up stuff or the ruffles thing. They kind of just revolve around that a few weeks and stuff. So,
which feels very commercial as well.
Yeah, so I think again, that I can agree with that. I think both games kind of need a little bit of something. With the playoffs looming and all that stuff, you know, with the suggestion you said with the NCAA March Madness stuff, you know, they've had some great cover boys for their previous or from their former NCAA games and stuff, like Melo and Blake Griffin and that. So
sure,
you know,
Kevin Love.
Yeah, you could capitalize on that sense, and
hell, Raymond Felton's still in the league. He was a cover player, wasn't he? One of them.
I can't remember. Maybe. He may have been.
Or was he college hoops? He might have been college hoops. I'm not sure.
I can't remember. But
he was on one of them. He was on one of the college games, either EA's NCAA or the 2K's college hoops. But yeah, there's stuff they can do, and it is kind of the dead part for the NBA. The limbo between the All-Star weekend and the final playoff push and the playoffs itself, that just to keep interest fresh in the game, that pushing new stuff through, I think would be really, really beneficial, really welcome. So yeah, I'm all for it.
Oh yeah, I think it would do both games a bit of some wonders in terms of that. Because it was around this time of year when 2K did the Park After Dark stuff, wasn't it?
They did one around about New Year's. Because the first one we got into was around New Year's.
That's right.
And then, but they did a few Park After Dark events. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's right. They did three, and I think they were like about 6 weeks apart or something like that. I could be wrong.
But events like that just, if anything, would spice up the neighborhood. I mean, if they had Christmas decorations in the neighborhood, that would have been kind of fun, and like Halloween decorations around about that time. I know they did that. Yeah. I know they did that in the playground. They had the pumpkin ball.
Yeah,
around Halloween, which was fun. They changed that to a pumpkin basketball. So, you know, credit to them for that. But just little touches like that. If you're going to have this presentation, that you might as well do that. And then also push through some content as well. You know, yeah. The events were... Well, it's kind of what got us really into Park. We weren't really that big of fans, but we tried it out and had some fun.
Yeah, I think it was... Like, I think we had a look at one of the first Park After Darks, but it was bad in terms of latency and lag and all that stuff.
You got on the first one. I missed out on it. I didn't bother, but you said it was pretty laggy and not that fun. Or you and Kenny, I think, both tried it out.
Possibly. Yeah, yeah. And I think really the only thing I could really get into was the dunk thing. But again, it was a lot like the Park neighborhood where it was standing around waiting for, you know, for someone to finish up. I mean, it's kind of like the dunk off thing in that sort of sense. In the neighborhood and that.
I mean, you also think about a lot of games. We play a new game every year, and we play it for around about 12 months, probably, most people, on and off at least. A lot of games you do play solidly for a few months, you finish them within that time, unless, of course, you're like me and drag Fallout 4 over the course of almost 3 years for a single playthrough. Story for another time for an off-topic section. But I suppose we do play a lot of games, and when you with the length of the season and everything, you do play a lot. And then we've got two games out this year as well, so that you're dividing your time between. So it's very easy to get burned out on the basketball gaming with two games. As much as I like having the two games there, it does also increase the possibility for burnout. And when you're playing them for what they've been out for what 5-6 months now, so obviously there is going to be that part where you lose interest. So if they push through new content, that is how you say, oh, well, okay, I'll dust it off again and keep playing, because there's actually a reason to do it.
Yeah, and not content that costs like 17,500 plus or 30,000 VC to buy.
Sunglasses, 5,000 VC at Swags, that's all I'll say. But...
Well, it was 15,000 for the All-Star hat, 17,500 for All-Star game jersey.
So basically, like half the season's salary for that's certainly realistic. That's, you know,
and there was like a shirt, which don't really know what the hell the pricing was, because it was like -30,538 VC. So it's like, wait, does that mean I'd get reimbursed 30,000 or do I lose 30,000?
Almost
VC?
Worth trying it just to see whether it has it. What a glitch.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, that is the way it is this year, and hopefully next year it'll be a little bit better, because it's... The goodwill is, as we've said before so many times, the goodwill has not been there, so it is something they need to fix up in future years. And in the meantime, yeah, more content. So that's pretty much, I guess, all we've had. It's all I've got written down on our week in basketball gaming. I think I've pretty much said all I have to say for the week. I no other stories at this time, unless I end up getting a Rick Barry and making him my power forward, but you know, I'm not. It's got kind of before my time, sort of, with Rick Barry. You know, it's retired the year before you were born, actually. So you're closer than I am, but
that's true.
It's still before our time, as far as his certainly his heyday, anyway, with his time with the Warriors. So I guess we should move on to a bit of real basketball talk.
Yeah.
And in that sense, as we said at the top of the show, it is basically a bit of Aussie bragging, basically, because the some Aussies have been doing pretty well at the moment, or they've set a few milestones, and some, also some exciting. Might as well lead with the exciting news is that next year, August 2019, is a lead up to the World Cup. The Team USA is going to come over to Australia to play the Boomers in Melbourne, a couple of games.
Yeah. It's looking like there's about two games, which would be pretty cool. And be interesting to, it'll be fun to go. Lucky for me, I will could be actually be in Victoria in that time. So, I'm looking around, going around down there around this time this year, around that time this year. So, I might try and tear it up for next year as well.
I put myself on the waiting list for tickets, just in case. I don't know whether how feasible it will be. It's all budget and time and everything else. But I thought, well, I'll certainly get myself in the running, get informed about it, because it'd be pretty cool to go down to Melbourne to do that. So that's the first time since the 2000 Olympics.
Yeah,
which were almost 20 years ago.
Or even actually 2001, the Goodwill Games.
They were here for that, were they?
Yeah, it was in Brisbane.
Oh, that's right, it was too. Yeah,
because so, I got to go clubbing and casino with the guys.
That's right. I remember you telling me that story. So obviously, it's being still been close to 20 years, which is kind of scary actually to think about.
Yeah.
So that's happening. You can sign up. That's all over social media at the moment, and the official NBL social media is sharing that. Who else was sharing it? Basically, if you look it up, you can find more information on that. So it'll be fun to watch, and possibly even watch live next year if we can do that. It'd be cool if we could get an NLSC meetup there, actually.
We should try and organise that. That'd be a good way.
If we could get that done. As far as what's happening at the moment, Ben Simmons continues to play well, make a strong bid for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. 8 triple-doubles now. He actually nearly had his 9th. Just 2 rebounds short yesterday.
Would have been 3 straight if he'd done that. It would have been if he'd got that triple double yesterday. It would have been a 3 straight.
Okay.
Which I think was going to be setting another record, tying an accomplishment by previous rookies to get 3 in a row. So he almost a little bit shy of getting another distinction to his name there. But yeah, so he's got the triple doubles, which puts him ahead of Magic now.
Because Magic was 7, he tied with him the other day with that one,
and then got the 8th.
Yep.
And he's also the 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists on the season. Pretty good accomplishment, basically, for a rookie.
Oh, for sure.
So he's got a bright future. I mean, the thing that I really want him to see is to develop that jump shot and become a reliable free throw shooter. That's going to be very important as his career moves forward, because if you are a liability from the free throw line, well, we've seen how teams have exploited that in the past with Hacker Shaq, and I guess this would be Banger Ben. Although Ben Wallace might have been the original Banger Ben in that that sense.
That sounds like something you watch on another channel.
That's something for the Friday night session, I think, 2K Pro. But no, it's been great to see him live up to the hype, basically.
Yeah, you know, he's showing his full potential. And there was an interview I saw, of reporters asking, he's talking to reporters, and he's like, well, why don't you play like this? Or, he says, I'm not that kind of player, I'm not that kind of player yet, in that sort of sense. So he knows the type of player that he is, and, he's a player that likes to get assists and get rebounds, and that, he does like to be in the playmaker. So, he's not selfish in that sense, which is good. And so I think he has got a good head on his shoulders in terms of knowing his strengths and all that stuff, and knowing his play style and that. So I think he also did indicate from, he's working on the things that he needs to and that, but yeah, he knows the player he is right now. And so he's working and doing the best he can with his abilities, and his abilities are pretty bloody good at the moment. At this stage, rate him a better point guard than Lonzo.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think he's definitely, Kuzma seems to be the real standout rookie in the league at the moment. But Simmons, I do think, I mean, Donovan Mitchell has been doing some good things, and Utah has been winning as well. Although so with the 76ers, and Embiid is having a fine year as well, being fully healthy for the playing full season finally. But Simmons is playing his role, and of course here in Newcastle they are playing it up that he did spend some time growing up here in Newcastle. Of course, his father played for the Falcons back in the day. met his father at one of my basketball presentations, actually. So that was cool. if I've got the right Simmons, actually, because they were two back in the day, but I'm pretty sure it was his father that I met. And I do know for sure that a guy I went to high school with, one of the best players that I ever played with or against when I was a teenager, certainly, you know, great rep player back in the day. He actually coached him briefly in the junior leagues, in the junior rep leagues. So it's with that Newcastle connection, naturally the local media has been sure to play that up a bit, and rightfully so. It's cool, and it's another reason why I am a supporter. You know, obviously he's not a Bull, but as far as my favourite non-Bulls are concerned, why obviously always got to cheer for the Aussies. Most of them, some of them. Not, I've been as big a fan of some of them as others for various reasons, but with having that local connection with me, with Simmons, that's been cool to see him. And yeah, I'm all for my hometown media playing up the connection. Might as well. But yeah, no, and actually knowing that somebody who's having gone to school with someone who coached him and met up with him in town actually quite randomly a few weeks back, and we're talking about him and how well he's doing, and it's great to see it continue.
Yeah, I really think Rookie of the Year is going to come down to Simmons and Mitchell at this stage. I think it's definitely a two-horse race between those guys. But obviously, I think some of the things Simmons is doing, and given that his size, he's kind of playing technically out of position, even though he is
it's kind of like LeBron playing point guard his rookie year. Because remember, LeBron played point guard that first year. Paul Silas had him playing point guard as a rookie before he moved to the wing, and then wing player, swingman as he is, and all the way to power forward, I suppose, in some of the small ball lineups with the Heat were running during the championship years. But as you say, Simmons kind of playing out of position, and
just because of the sheer size factor.
Absolutely. You know, and of course, drawing comparisons to LeBron or to a Magic or even an Oscar Robertson, who was a big point guard, a big guard back in the 60s, you know, but 6'5" back then was tall. I mean, there were centers that were only 6'7", 6'8". You know, I think the very first BAA, the Basketball Association of America game, there was a contest that if you were taller than the starting center, who was 6'5", you got in for free. So again, it goes to show how the league has evolved since those early days of white men in short shorts.
I'd get in for free then.
Yeah. So that's probably less people getting in for free under that promotion these days. Are you taller than the point guard? Even I'd probably get in at 6'3.5". Even I'd probably get in on some of that less promotions if it's taller than the point guard. Well, that was Isaiah Thomas is currently starting for the Lakers. We started a couple of games for the Lakers, so I am taller than 5'9", so I can I will get in on that one, but unfortunately no promotion. And from Ben Simmons to another Aussie who's playing well, and it's Kenny's buddy Jingles, Joe Ingles. First of all, giving a legally blind child some eyewear that would help him see the game better. Very nice gesture there.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch.
And I mean, not to downplay, you know, a gesture like that, but as far as on-court accomplishments, also it is not just a good guy, but turning into quite a good player as well. Just set the single season record for the Utah Jazz for most 3-pointers made in a single season, which I guess we were talking about it before we started recording, and they've never had a Stephen Curry or a Reggie Miller or Ray Allen on their team. But Stockton used to hit a lot of threes, and Jeff Hornacek, and more recently Deron Williams would fire up from three as well. I would have thought one of them would have had the record, the record. He might have more. I didn't check the final tally, but the record he set was at 179. So I suppose 178 is fairly high for what it used to be. I mean, it's only been like recent years where Stephen Curry's hit 400 plus,
which is crazy.
And we've had more seasons where players have hit over 200. You know, that was kind of the record back in the day, that over 150 to 200 was kind of like, oh, wow, that's prolific. But then now it's Stephen Curry with his 405 or whatever it was, or more.
Yeah, that was insane.
You know, a few years back in his unanimous MVP season. But, yeah, I would have, would have been Stockton had the record before. I'll look that up. But yeah, it's cool to see an Aussie with a record, basically.
Yeah, I mean, when I found out about it, I was a little bit surprised. Like, again, I thought it was a bit higher than that in terms of as well. You know, I was thinking. So yeah, that's surprising, but good to see. And you know, hopefully he continues in his good form in that. And yeah, does really well for the Jazz. I think Dante Exum is close to returning or has returned now as well. So there's some potentially good news there if, you know, especially if we can play out the rest of the year and start the new year without injury and that. That'll be good to see him get back on track.
Definitely. And it's good to see these days Aussies actually getting some run and actually being able to... more Aussies actually having a significant impact. Obviously, we got Ben Simmons could be our first NBA superstar, homegrown superstar. But Aussies at least having a prominent role. I mean, we had Luke Longley back in the day, but we also had some of our NBL greats, Gaze, obviously, Shane Heal, Mark Badke, going over for a cup of coffee in the NBA and not really getting that burn, even though they were legends here in Australian basketball, just not getting the minutes over in America, in the US, in the NBA, I should say, America and the US. There you go. It's been a long weekend with a lot of drinking, people. but you would see... We'd get over there, and we've had... I think we've got probably as many Aussies as we've ever had at one point in the NBA at the moment. I think it's the highest it's ever been. And people having prominent roles, which, again, is what we'd... It's nice to see. I mean, sure, it was great when we had... Nathan Dwyer was over there and spent a few years. David Anderson had a short run with a couple of teams and 3 or 4 years in the league. And yeah, Luke Longley, naturally, Bogut. So it's not like there haven't been, but now we actually have players... And Joe Ingles coming over there, and it looked like he was going to be another training camp cut at one point, but he's actually become, you know, part of the rotation and now a franchise record holder.
Yeah, because it was one of the guys that I coached, Brock Modum, who was going to be on the roster, and then because they made their 15-man cut on the last day, and then the Clippers dropped Jingles, and so that forced.
I just remember that he's apparently not a fan of that name
when Kenny
was yelling it at him at a game.
So. And then, yeah, so then when the Clippers dropped in and the Jazz signed him and then dropped Modem instead, which was kind of, like, for me it was disappointing because it was, you know, it would have been someone, you know, I've got to help develop and all that stuff, getting to the NBA, which would have been cool.
Well, so I like Brock Modem because I share a birthday with him. So that's pretty cool, but he's six years younger than I am, so he's
much better. And a few inches taller.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, by the way, the player he passed for the record, Randy Foy, set in the 2013 season, 178.
Ah.
So of all players, not Stockton, not Hornacek, not Deron Williams, not even Mehmet Okur. It's Randy Foy, of all players, from a few years back, 178.
But, actually, speaking of that, I got Mehmet Okur as a Facebook friend.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Get him on the podcast.
So. Yeah, I should actually.
So, nevertheless, the Jazz, a new single season record holder in that respect. Utah is 21-2 since January 24th. They're streaking into the playoff picture, basically.
That's pretty scary. Is it Denver's 112 in a row or something?
The Blazers. The Blazers have also
Blazers,
very...
That's right, yeah.
Blazers, Pacers, and Jazz have very quietly been very decent teams since the new year. You know, and decent is selling them rather short, actually. So, it's...
It's kind of like the Heat run last year in that sense. They were, like, since All-Star game, they just went on this massive run and just missed out on that playoff spot because of... the for and against or something like that or something... So last year in that sort of sense there.
Well, the Heat are currently holding steady in the eighth place in the East as well. Oh, good, the Knicks have overtaken the Bulls again. The Bulls overtook the Knicks in the race to the bottom. Well, they overtook them in the wrong way by moving up in the standings. They've moved back down now, so thank you, Bulls, for losing like you're supposed to do. So thank you. Shout out to Cameron Payne. 12 in a row for Portland. They're third in the West now, actually. Thunder have won 5 and they're fourth. Jazz have moved all the way up to 5th with 9 in a row. They've got 9 in a row, so they are still one of the best teams at the moment, one of the hottest teams. Raptors top of the East, 52-17, 11 in a row. So they're really streaking out ahead of the Celtics and Cavs. You know, everyone's been talking with Celtics and Cavs all season, and all of a sudden the Raptors have just come out and they're 52. They're almost on par with the Warriors and Rockets. They've got the third best record in the league, actually, 52-17 as of this recording. So you know,
there's a log jam for.
Oh, the West playoff picture, yeah, is starting to get
really... Three teams, 40 and 30,
including the Jazz, who won the 9 in a row, and Clippers and... Currently, there's Clippers and Nuggets on the outside looking in, and they're probably going to finish the season with winning records and miss the playoffs, which is going to lead to more debate about reshuffling everything. Although, you know, it's just the way it goes. If you are that good to win, then you should win it all and compete. I guess you really should be winning more games. But you know, that's a topic we've discussed at other times as well. Warriors have got a lot of injuries at the moment. Durant's just been diagnosed with a rib injury, and Klay Thompson as well.
It's like a small fracture or something in the rib cartilage or something for Durant or something, isn't it?
Yes, rib cartilage injury, which sounds kind of unpleasant. Somebody said that snakes don't have ribs, but they actually do. They actually, you know, I mean, I appreciate the joke, but I believe they actually do because they kind of move on them.
I was going to make the joke from all the ribbing that he got from like being called a snake, and you know, all the jabs in that sort of sense.
No, he's just got too much ribbing and fractured his. Yeah. So it's, you know, March Madness is obviously going on in the NCAA, but. Double NCAA, the NCAA, the National College, yeah. But in the NBA, it is getting kind of interesting. I'm going to have to tune back in and make sure I catch a lot of these games, especially between teams that are on the bubble and really could be dropping in and out of the playoffs. I don't think we're going to see the Heat drop out because the next team down, the Pistons, are 30-39, so they're about 7 games behind. Unless the Heat completely collapse and the Pistons go on a Raptors-like run or a Blazers-like run, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the East is pretty much set. It's really going to be the seeding, whether the Cavs drop any further or whether they can turn it around, because Washington is half a game behind them at the moment, as are the Pacers. Even the 76ers are just a game and a half. So we could see a lot of shuffling in both the East and the West, but the West does have a couple of teams that could make a final push. So the Spurs have won 3 in a row, so they're kind of back on track, but then they are actually, I think, for the first time in many years, possibly even going back to before the David Robinson era, or the Tim Robinson era, if you remember my gaffe from the podcast a few weeks ago, of actually possibly missing the playoffs, because a few losses plus combined with a few wins by the Clippers or Nuggets, they could overtake them, depending on...
Yeah.
I mean, they're ahead of the Pelicans at the moment, but... A lot of teams are on the bubble, and a lot of seedings that could shift within a couple of games.
Yeah, I want to know. With Detroit, doesn't look like the trade for Blake Griffin has paid off. I mean, Detroit were well in the top 8 before then.
Yeah, they won a couple with him to start out, and then it just completely dropped off. And some people called it. They said that Blake Griffin is not the cornerstone franchise player that he's certainly being paid like. And they predicted that the Clippers would do better, and the Clippers are 6-4 in the last 10, 37-31 on the outside looking in, game and a half back from the Pelicans. Pistons are 2-8 in their last 10, lost their last 3 in a row. They have not. It hasn't really turned it around, or certainly not for the better anyway. Could Stan Van Gundy be on his way out in Detroit?
Because
as both the general manager and the head coach. Because he's calling all the shots in that respect at the moment. And,
that's true.
And, well, Doc Rivers got one over on him. who'd have thought? After all the beatings that he's taken with his reputation and a legacy in recent years.
Do you think Charlotte will have finished the season with more wins than Detroit?
Let's see, Charlotte's a 30. They could. I mean, they're probably going to be on the outside looking in unless the Heat completely collapse. But, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean... I will say this: it's good to see Dwight having a good season in that sense. Like from the games that I've seen, he's putting up numbers similar to what he did when he was in Orlando. You know, those early years and that. So
I mean, Dwight Howard's a tough one because, I mean, he's done some things and said things or
certain attitude
I certainly don't agree with. I certainly would criticize rightfully. I think also he get sometimes can be criticized a little bit too much. I mean, people say, well, it's the whole false dichotomy of the internet. It's either garbage or it's great. And people say he's garbage. Like, no, he's better than that. I mean,
there was just a few areas where, like, attitude or something like that, or.
And never really developing a post game as such, like an Olajuwon, and even working with Hakeem and not really developing those moves, that's disappointing and not really the franchise player that people were hoping he would be.
It's good to see a slight turnaround, and you know, he's sort of, especially after the whole LA thing. You know, I mean, he was potentially playing injured from what we know with that.
With a nerve injury in his back, which, I mean, I've got sciatica from my years of running, and I can attest to that being painful at times. So for him to actually have that nerve damage, you know, much more severe than I was dealing with, I don't think he gets the credit. He gets called soft a lot from Kobe Bryant in particular for that reaction gif that's goes out now. But, yeah, I don't know that he necessarily is that. You know, credit where it's due for playing through that. Those back problems, but it seems to be a bit healthier now and maybe finding his niche a bit, so he is playing a bit better.
Yeah, and I think he would have enjoyed that win over Atlanta
the
other day, so that was, especially given, A, that was his hometown where he grew up in that, but given what was said after they traded him away from players and staff and all that stuff was probably, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, players weren't happy with him sort of talking in the locker room and, you know, trying to spark the team in a lot of ways, and they're like, why is this guy talking kind of stuff? It was like, wow, that's pretty harsh.
I mean, he is one of the most accomplished players on that Hawks roster still, even despite the criticism. So it's kind of like, well, he's still kind of ranks higher than you, but nevertheless. No, it probably would have been a pretty good... And like you say, he's shown flashes of the old Dwight.
Yeah, and, you know, I know we've criticized in the past, like, especially when he was going through that rough PR period and obviously the injury stuff, you know, I just want to recognize that, you know, it's good to see him getting back and playing well again. So that's why I brought it up in that. So,
definitely. But, so we're getting into the home stretch, I suppose, and we'll find out who's going to drop out of the top eight, and where they're all going to be seated in the top eight, because it's a bit of a close race right now.
Yeah, there's about 12 or 14 games left, roughly, isn't there, for pretty much most of the teams?
About that, yeah. So it's still time to turn it. Still time for a miraculous run in some cases, maybe a bit less likely in some cases as well. But, yeah, it could be an interesting finish. We could see some unlikely teams drop out of the West and playoff picture or indeed get into it. So only time will tell.
Yeah.
So that has brought us to the end of episode number 241 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we hope you enjoyed tuning in, listening to a couple of Aussies talk about basketball and basketball video games. If you do like listening to us, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. We're also on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. Search NLSC podcast, look for our logo, and that'll be us. Or, of course, keep streaming it on the NLSC itself. As we always say, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that is the main thing, no matter how you like to access this audio content, as distinguished digital broadcasters that we are, Ben. you can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Instagram. We're trying to post there a little bit more often. That is NLSC Basketball. And, of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But until next time, that is it. So until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arkane.
And we're out like my voice at the pub last night.